I am Planta Online. This is thecommentary.ca. Between now and the election and referendum here in British Columbia on the 12th of May, I'll be doing a number of interviews on the campaign and more. We hope to meet some of the candidates as well as get the insights and analysis of the pundits and journalists we've had on over the years and possibly more. 4 years ago during the last campaign, I was very pleased to host all of the candidates in the riding I live in, Vancouver-Kensington. Now, the guy who won the last time is not seeking re-election. He joins me now to look back at the last 4 years as well as what to expect in this campaign. David Chudnovsky is the outgoing NDP MLA for Vancouver-Kensington. He is past president of the BC Teachers Federation and has just been elected to the board of COPE, the Coalition of Progressive Electors here in Vancouver. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, David Chudnovsky. Good morning, Mr. Chudnovsky.
Hi, Joseph. How are you?
Very well. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Let's begin with COPE. From what I've read on Jamie Lee Hamilton's blog and elsewhere, it's her contention that Tim Lewis was treated shabbily and callously. What do you think of, why do you think she thinks Lewis was treated so badly?
Because she's wrong. Tim is a long-standing member of COPE and a leader in COPE and has done terrific work over the years with COPE. He ran for the executive and somebody else got more votes. That's unfortunate. People sometimes are upset about that. The comments that Jamie Lee Hamilton has put on her blog are just kind of silly and sour grapes, and I don't take them very seriously.
Now, Lewis told the Georgia Strait that you and your colleagues, now that you've dominated the board, that COPE will cease to exist soon.
Well, Tim's been saying that for a number of years, since a new executive group was elected three AGMs ago. Tim has said over and over again that COPE's going to disappear and the people are wanting to merge into Vision Vancouver and all of this stuff. But, you know, COPE is more successful than it's been in years. We elected six people to council, park, and school board last November. We had a fantastic and creative and interesting campaign. We paid off our historic debt. We came out of the campaign debt-free. Our representatives on council, David Cadman and Ellen Woodsworth, support the council majority some of the time, and they criticize the council majority and propose alternatives other parts of the time. I think this silliness about COPE disappearing is again, unfortunately, sour grapes. COPE is here to stay. It's been here for 40 years. It is the voice of the communities and ordinary working people and the downtown east side, and it's been here for 40 years. It's going to be here for another 40 years.
Now, I'm not of that side of the political spectrum, yep. And I'm just looking at it politically. Mm-hmm. One would think that why don't you merge with Vision?
Because we disagree with them on a whole number of issues. That doesn't mean that we don't consider them to be an improvement over the NPA. We formed a tactical alliance with Vision in the November 2008 election, and we did that because we thought it was incredibly important that the NPA be defeated and that we turn the city in another direction. But that doesn't mean we agree with them about everything. There are disagreements on questions of taxation, on questions of Olympic security, on questions of housing and homelessness, on all kinds of questions, and we are in a respectful way going to disagree with our colleagues in Vision from time to time, and we're completely at home and comfortable with that. Our task is to be an independent party of the left in Vancouver. We think that the people of Vancouver want that, and that's what we're going to do.
Now, you've just come off 4 years in the legislature. You're still the MLA, I guess, till the writ drops, right?
Till next week.
Yeah. What did you say in your speech, your last speech in the legislature last week?
I talked about two things. I talked about some of my concerns and criticisms of the way that the legislature works or doesn't work. And I talked about some of the principles I think that should guide MLAs when they're in the legislature. Who should we be thinking about and who should we be working for? So those were the two themes of my comments.
Now, this stuff about the concerns about how the legislature and how it works, was that what guided you, I guess, into not running this time around?
It was one of the considerations. I think of the job of an MLA as having three pieces. Two of those pieces I love. I enjoy doing that work, and if that were all the job was, I would have continued. So those two pieces are the constituency work, the community work, and I have loved working in this community, my community. This is where I've lived and lived for 30 years. My family has lived here. Our kids grew up in this community and went to school in this community, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so working with community organizations and people who are having problems with government and renters and multicultural organizations and street organizations and the Dickens group and the Mountain View group and all, and the seniors and the Punjabi speaking groups. That work has been a joy for me, and I've really, really learned a lot and loved it. The second part of the job is the policy part. For the first 2 years I was in the legislature, I was the opposition critic for transportation issues, and I learned a tremendous amount about transportation issues that I hadn't thought about at all. In the past, I learned about railway issues, a little bit about the BC Rail, the corrupt BC Rail scandal sale. I learned about railway safety issues. I learned about bridges and highways and potholes and privatization of bridges and highways. And all of that was a tremendous growing experience for me. The last 2 years I was the critic for homelessness and mental health issues, which fits my passions. And I was pleased to do that work and traveled the province meeting with homeless people and learning from them, and wrote a significant report about homeless issues. So that part of the job I loved as well. But the part of the job that takes you to Victoria to participate in what is really a bit of a joke, the debates in the legislature, I didn't like that at all, and I came to be very frustrated with it.
Didn't you know that before, though, that it was like that?
I knew some of it. but I hadn't spent very much time in the legislature. I had visited the legislature from time to time, and I had spoken with people who were MLAs prior to me. But I didn't come to understand the full extent of the problems there. So, for instance, question period, which is the most dramatic part of every day in the legislature, half an hour in the afternoon, when the opposition is given the responsibility of holding government to account and asking questions. Question period is a fraud in the BC legislature. The government never, ever, ever answers the questions. Never. They hide behind all kinds of excuses. We've got the spectacle over the last number of weeks of the Premier, Mr. Campbell, and the Attorney General, Wally Opal, refusing to answer questions about the BC Rail corruption scandal and hiding behind the courts. And when we began to ask questions that had nothing to do with the BC Rail corruption scandal, but had to do with Mr. Kinsella, the Premier's best friend and principal advisor, they wouldn't answer questions those questions either. That is contemptuous of the parliamentary system, and something that I think that the people of British Columbia should be concerned about.
Do you think this BC Rail scandal, the stuff about Kinsella, do you think this will resonate with the public during the campaign?
I think so. I think it already has resonated with the public. I think there are a number of issues that the public is going to be concerned about, one of them being the fact that Mr. Campbell's government, Mr. Campbell himself, promised not to privatize BC Rail. Then he went ahead and privatized BC Rail, and now we find out that that sale is tainted by scandal and corruption all the way from the beginning to the end. So I think that's one of the things that people will be concerned about. They'll be concerned about the privatization of water resources in British Columbia, the privatization of BC Hydro. They'll be concerned about the economy, certainly, and jobs, and the fact that this government seems to be the last government in the world to be be putting in a significant policy to deal with the meltdown in the financial sector and the resulting crisis in manufacturing and in jobs and in the and in the resource industries. This, as I said in a speech last week or the week before, in the legislature, this government is being pulled kicking and screaming into the 1930s. They are the most, together with Mr. Harper's government in Ottawa, they're the most conservative and most reactionary significant government that I know of anywhere in the world.
Did you think Carol James and the NDP will form the government a month or so from now?
I think it's going to be close. I think that it'll be a hard-fought election. I think in the end it's quite possible that Carol James will be our premier and that the NDP will form the government. I think it's going to be a hard-fought campaign, the way they always are in B.C.
And do you think she'd make a good premier?
Terrific premier. I think she'll make a terrific premier. She brings a sensibility and an approach that that we've seldom seen in British Columbia. She is what everybody knows, an honest, straightforward, decent person. She's not macho like Gordon Campbell, but we don't need two Gordon Campbells. We got one's enough. She is as straightforward and kind and good-hearted and strong a person as I know. And I think she'll make a terrific premier, but one that won't be in the mold of Gordon Campbell, and thank heaven for that.
And you, in your speech last week, you said that the real governing, it doesn't happen in the legislature, that it goes on wherever the premier and his aides make the decisions and not in the House. Do you think that that'll change under Carol James if she became premier?
I think so, and I hope so. I think that Carol James is much more a person who works on the basis of consensus. She, British Columbians know and understand when they see Carol James that she's the kind of person who listens, who actually is interested. Imagine a premier who's interested in what somebody else thinks for a change. We've had for 8 years a premier who is not the least bit interested in what anybody else has to say or what anybody else thinks. Not the least, and that causes all kinds of problems. So for the second time last week, we have a law that's been brought forward basically personally by the premier that's found to be unconstitutional. So we need a premier, it seems to me, and leadership in this province that is both strong and open to listening to what other people have to say, and I think that's what Carol James will bring.
Now, it's to the neighborhood, to our neighborhood. Your successor as the candidate, the NDP candidate, is Mabel Elmore.
Yep.
There was a bit of news made over some comments she'd made on another website a few years ago.
Yep.
What did you make of that whole controversy, that whole contretemps that happened?
I think it was mostly a manufactured controversy. You know, there politics in the Middle East are very controversial. Lots of points of view. Mabel has one point of view. I certainly wouldn't have chosen the words that Mabel chose or the examples that she chose. But you know, there's going to be debate about Israel and Palestine. There's going to be debate about Afghanistan. There's going to be debate about Iraq. There's going to be debate about our federal policies. That's what we want. We want different points of view, and I think Mabel has points of view that sometimes you'll agree with, sometimes you won't, but I think she'll make a terrific MLA.
Have you gotten to know her?
I've known Mabel for a number of years. She's a very, very intelligent, energetic, hardworking, organized woman, and I think that she'll make a terrific MLA.
And you don't think she's anti-Zionist?
I think that she criticizes Zionism, but what she was seems to me what people have accused her of is being anti-Semitic. I'm Jewish. I don't find her to be the least bit anti-Semitic. You can be critical of the policies of the state of Israel, which I am, and critical of what some Zionists have to say without being the least bit anti-Semitic.
Did you come out publicly in that nomination, the NDP nomination race here in Kensington?
I did. I supported the other candidate. I supported Ginny Sims for the nomination, and was disappointed that she lost. But that doesn't mean that Mabel isn't a great candidate for MLA. I'll be working. I have been working hard for her, and I'll continue to work hard for her. She'll be great.
Those were the only two candidates for the nomination?
Yes.
And what did you think of the process? I guess your party has a process of it's some sort of affirmative action where candidates had to be a minority or a woman.
The process is that where an incumbent is retiring and not running again. The candidate that the NDP will put forward is a woman. So there were four or five constituencies like that, and one of them was our constituency here in Vancouver, Kensington. I'm a big supporter of that policy. It is high time that we had more women, way more women in the legislature. The way for that to happen is to encourage them to run, and encourage them to run in winnable ridings. So when an incumbent is retiring, I think it's a perfect opportunity to encourage women to run. We had two outstanding women running for the nomination in Vancouver, Kensington, and if everything goes the way I expect it to go, we're going to have a woman MLA in Vancouver, Kensington, who will bring the specific particular concerns and experiences of women into the legislature. We need way more women in the legislature. It's embarrassing in British Columbia with 79 MLAs that only 15 or so of them are women. That's ridiculous. So I'm supportive of the policy.
And do you know anything about the Liberal candidate, Cyrus Lee?
Hardly anything. Never heard of him. I don't think he lives in Vancouver, Kensington.
What will you do now, David? Will you go back to teaching?
I won't be going back to teaching. I'm going to be doing a whole number of projects that have been very important to me over the years. I'll be continuing to do work to resist and fight against homelessness here in our community and in Vancouver in general. That's something that is a real commitment of mine. I'll be going back to doing some education work, policy work, not teaching, although I miss teaching, and I've done over the years some international work. I've been to South Africa a number of times to work with teachers and kids, and I plan to do more of that as well.
Will you be running for municipal office in 2011?
I don't think so. My commitment to COPE has been one that's 30 years long. I've been a member of COPE for 30 years, and I've done all kinds of jobs, been on the executive before, done all kinds of volunteering and worked in elections, and that's what I'm planning to do.
Have you got a position on STV?
Well, I'm not. Perfectly frank, I'm undecided on STV. I'm not undecided on proportional representation. I think we need a system of proportional representation in the province. I think it's much fairer. My preference is for a system of mixed member proportional representation, something like what they have in most countries in Europe. The best part about STV is that it is more proportional than what we have now, first past the post. So we have a situation where, for instance, in the 2001 election, the Liberals got slightly more than 50% of the votes and got about 95% of the seats. The NDP got 20-some percent of the votes and got about 5% of the seats. That doesn't make sense. And so I think we have to guard against that kind of situation, and I think that proportional representation is a way to do that. STV, I have got some worries about STV, so the truth is I haven't made up my mind how I'm going to vote on the referendum this time.
Will your party come out with a position, or will they remain neutral?
No, I think that the party will be neutral, and that the MLAs will be able to do what they want to do.
David, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, and thank you for your service. Congratulations on these past 4 years, and say hi to Ben for me, would you?
I'll do that. Thanks very much for speaking with me today.
You're very welcome. The outgoing NDP MLA for Vancouver-Kensington, David Chudnovsky on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.